I want to say good morning to each and every one of you here. Bring you greetings again this morning in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It is a beautiful day to be able to come together and worship the Lord. And I, too, am glad the wind died down and it's a little warmer. It's windy. I said March has proven true to its name so far that it's windy. I think almost every day's been, not quite, but almost every day's been fairly windy, but it's just another good day to come together and worship the Lord. I've been encouraged, and as we've challenged, as we've been here so far, and our new believers class, we looked at the church. The lesson was titled "The Church," and just the need for the church, the joining together of the church, the building of the church, and the reason for the church, and how we need to give of ourselves and our time and talent for the church. And then the songs that we sang were just very encouraging. That first one, I think it was "Till the Storm Passes By," and you know, all of us face storms in life, all of us face trials, and all of us have things that happen that we would rather not go through, but yeah, and just we can rest and trust in the Lord through those times. And yeah, it is good to be here. The message we looked at or shared last week was Living Like Jesus, I believe, was the title of the message. And this morning is kind of maybe a sequel to that or an extension of that. We're going to look at integrity. Proverbs 11:3 says, "The integrity of the upright shall guide them." Proverbs 20:7 says, "The just man shall walk in his integrity." What is integrity? Some of the definition of integrity is uprightness of character, honesty, the condition or quality of being sound. I like that one. The condition or quality of being sound. The state of being complete or unchangeable. It's a quote that I've seen. It says something like this: "Integrity is doing right regardless of the circumstances." I have a quote that's been laying on my desk for probably 10 or 15 years, and I wanted to copy it off and bring it along. But I think I read it and seen it enough times. It says something like this: "Integrity is doing the right thing even when you know nobody else would ever know." Think about that for a moment. Are we willing to do the right thing even when we know nobody else would ever know? The title of the message this morning is "Godly Character." If we are going to have integrity, we're going to need standards. Proverbs 11 verse 3a says, "The integrity of the upright shall guide them." The integrity of the upright shall keep them on the right path. Seen a bumper sticker a while back. It kind of caught my attention, which that's, I guess, what bumper stickers are supposed to be for. But this one really caught my attention. It says, "When all else fails, lower your standards." I thought about that. I was like, wow, that's bad. And, you know, too many, sad to say, too many people today fall into that trap of lowering your standards. Whenever you're not getting anywhere with one way or something, you lower your standards. You lower your standards maybe on family values. You lower your standards on godly principles. We have examples in Scripture of some that lowered their standards and some examples of those that didn't lower their standards. A few that did lower their standards was Abraham when he lied to King Abimelech and said that his wife Sarah was his sister. He was afraid they were going to take her. And yeah, there is a lot there. We won't get into that, but he lowers his standards and was willing to lie about it. Rebecca and Jacob, the mother and son there, when they schemed and manipulated and lied to Isaac so Jacob would get the blessing instead of Esau. Aaron, when he made a golden calf, when Moses went up to Mount Sinai, when he received the Ten Commandments, you know, the people were the children of Israel there were troubled, and they were just, yeah, again, rebelling against God, and they were wanting something different. And yes, Aaron lowered his standards. Peter, when he denied that he knew Jesus. But a couple we think about that didn't lower their standards. We have Joseph, had integrity and godliness, and he trusted in God. We won't look at, there's a couple verses I have written here, but we all know the story of Joseph, and I believe that's what Brother Paul is finishing up his third talk on here this evening. But when he was enticed or tempted, you know, he was a man just as each one of us men here are. He had physical desires, but when he was tempted, he said, "How could I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" He did not lower his standards that he knew God wanted him to have. Job, when he lost everything, And he didn't lose his faith in God. Even his wife was telling, here again, I'm maybe paraphrasing, but telling him he was crazy. You know, your God ain't nobody. He, look at what he's done to you. But Job never lost his faith in God. It's another little illustration I'd seen while I was studying, kind of brought out of someone that didn't lower their standards. There was a pastor that preached a sermon on honesty one Sunday morning. On Monday morning, he took a bus to get to his office. He paid the fare, and the bus driver gave back to him too much change. During the rest of this journey, the pastor was rationalizing how God had provided him with the extra money he needed for the week, but he just could not live with himself. So before he got off the bus, he said to the driver, "You made a mistake. You gave me too much change," and he proceeded to give him back the extra money. The driver smiled and said, "No, that was no mistake. I was at your church yesterday and heard you preach on honesty, so I put you to the test this morning." Think about that just a little bit. You know, if we ever lower our standards, it's going to affect somebody. And I say standards. If we ever lower our what we know is right and wrong and do lower our what we know is right and do wrong, to try to get by, it's going to affect somebody. Most of all, it will affect us and our relationship with God. This morning for a text, or what we want to look at as scripture, is another person or character in the Bible that didn't lower his standards, and that was the life of Daniel. So if you will turn with me at this time, we'll be looking at Daniel chapter 6. It'll be the entire chapter. It's kind of lengthy, but to get the whole thought, and we all know the story of Daniel, I hope, from little up. That's one of the stories we've been taught. But Daniel chapter 6, verses 1 through 28. It says, "And it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes which sought to be over the whole kingdom." It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes which should be over the whole kingdom. "And over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes should give account to them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes, because of his excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none an occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, 'We shall find no occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God.' Then these presidents and princes assembled themselves to the king and said thus unto him, 'King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes and the counselors and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish a decree and sign in writing that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Wherefore, King Darius signed the writing and the decree. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went down into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he had done aforetime. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. And when he came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree, 'Hast thou not signed a decree that every man that shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days, save thee, O king, shall be cast into a den of lions?' The king answered and said, 'This thing is true according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not.' Then answered they and said before the king, 'That Daniel, which is of the children of captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree which thou hast signed, but maketh his petition three times a day.' Then the king, when he had heard these words, was sore displeased with himself, and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Then these men assembled unto the king and said unto the king, 'Know, O king, for the law of the Medes and Persians, that no decree nor statute which the king established may be changed.' Then the king commanded and brought forth Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, 'Thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee.' And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet, and with the signet of his lords, and that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king went to his palace and passed a night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste unto the den of the lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said unto Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions? Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God has sent his angel, and has shut the mouths of the lions, that they have not hurt me, forasmuch as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Then was the king exceedingly glad for him, and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no matter of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in his God. And the king commanded, and they brought those men which had accused Daniel, and that they cast him into the den of lions, them and their children and their wives, and the lions had their mastery of them, and break all their bones in pieces, and ever they came to at the bottom of the den. Verse 25, then King Darius wrote unto all people, nations, and languages that dwell on all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. And I make a decree in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God and steadfast forever. And his kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be forever unto the end. He delivereth and rescueth, and he worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth, who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. Rather lengthy passage of scripture there, but I think it was very important to get the whole idea and thoughts of the story to share in the message today. As we think of the life of the Daniel, we could say his life was one of integrity, commitment, and faithfulness would come to our minds. He was one that didn't turn his back on God. It was one that was willing to do what was right regardless of the circumstances. He was faithful in keeping his faith and trust in God. Are we being faithful? Are we being true by the faith and trust that others have put in us and by God? Is there any area in our lives where we have or are lowering our standards below what Scripture asks us to do? I want to look at three parts this morning. The first part is faithfulness. Daniel was faithful in everything that he did. We see that in the first couple verses of our text there. You know, we see that it pleased Darius to set him, first of all, it talks about to set over his kingdom those that would rule the kingdom, so to speak. And over all of those, he set three presidents. In other words, three men that would be the final authority under him, I guess you could say. And Daniel was first. And why was Daniel first? We see that in verse 3, because Darius seen that there was an excellent spirit in him. And I thought about that. You know, not only did he see that there was an excellent spirit in him, but he seen that he could trust him. You know, think about it just for a moment here. You know, Daniel was in captivity here. He was taken from his people. He was taken from the people that he knew. He was in captivity. He probably would not prefer to be there, but yet he was doing what he needed to do under his circumstances, but yet through it all, he never lost his faith in God. You know, that really impressed upon me this week as I was studying and preparing for this message, that thought of him being a captive here. You know, it's one thing if you're willingly called to do something, or I say willingly, if you're called to do something and you're willing to go do it, but Daniel wasn't there at that time by his own choice. He was there because I believe God placed him there, but he was there as a captive, but yet he was being faithful to God through it all. He was faithful to God. He wanted to continue to do what was right. He continued to pray three times a day as he was taught from little up. Because of his faithfulness, Darius noticed something that was different about him and knew that he could trust him. But that's when we see that the trouble started to rise because those around about him started to get jealous. There in verse 4, it talks about, and the presidents and the princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom. But this is another thought that stood out to me, but they could find none. Think about that just a moment. You know, is there anybody sitting here that if those around us would look at our lives, that they could find no fault? And I'm not trying to promote that we can live a perfect life here. But are we doing our best to uphold our integrity? Are we doing our best to give of our time and service and talents to the Lord? The end of verse 4, but they could find none occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. I think all of us know the story here. But because of Daniel's faithfulness, you know, they couldn't find any fault. Verse 5 brings out that they realized that the only way they were going to find any fault in him is if they were going to point out something that had to do with his being faithful to his God. It says that except they find it against him concerning the law of his God. You know, I don't say it here, but I think Daniel could be described as like Job. And when Job was, I think it's in Job 2:3, where it talked about him being a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. Thinking about all of that, a couple verses I want to look at kind of adds a little more weight to that as Psalm 25, verse 21. It says, let integrity and uprightness, this is a psalmist David here saying, maybe I'll back up and read verse 20. Psalm 25, verses 20 and 21. O keep my soul and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed, for I have put my trust in thee. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait on thee. And then in chapter 26, verse 1, judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in mine integrity. I've walked also in the Lord. Therefore I shall not slide. Thinking about the integrity, thinking here of Psalmist David saying, let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait on thee. You know, it's only when we allow God to continue to lead us, and we continue to wait on him, we allow God to continue to strengthen us, that we can live lives that we see that Daniel, as well as others here in Scripture, have lived. Our faithfulness should resemble the faithfulness of Jesus. He was faithful in the work that his Father wanted him to do, even to the work of the cross. You know, I'm not sure why, and I don't know if it's really Easter season coming up, but that thought is just being impressing on me more and more how much it cost Jesus as he went to the cross, and how much it hurt God so much to watch that it says that he had to turn and look the other way. But yet Jesus was faithful. He was willing to do. We sing that song, he could have called 10,000 angels, and he could have. He could have escaped it all. He didn't have to do it. But are we putting that much effort towards being faithful in our service and our walk with the Lord as we see in those circumstances? We need to be faithful because that's what God asks of us and expects of us. Revelations 2:10 says, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee the crown of life. As you study the life of Christ, I believe one of the characteristics that dominate the life of Christ was his desire to do the will of his Father and to be faithful to his Father's will. Are we willing? Do we have the desire to do the will of our Father? And are we being faithful to his will? We need to be faithful in submitting to the will of God, in keeping his commandments, in reading his word, in seeking his face. And yes, I might even add, faithful in supporting the church, which we have chosen to be a part of. This morning, as I shared, and I didn't know that, Brother Barry was teaching the lesson this morning, so I didn't look over the lesson a whole lot till a little bit this morning, so... But I didn't think about how much it fit with some of what we're sharing here this morning, thinking of the life of the church. There's a quote that I seen while I was studying. It really made me stop and think. You know, you see so much emphasis today placed on the larger body of Christ and not so much on the local body of Christ. And we're all part of the larger body of Christ, but we are called to give of our best effort, our time and talents to the local body of Christ, the church that we are a part of, to plug in, give of our time and talents. Anyway, the quote that I've seen, it says, and it made me stop and think, if one expects to answer when the roll is called up yonder, he had better be present when the roll is called down yonder. Think about that for a moment. If one expects to answer when the roll is called up yonder, he had better be present when the roll is being called down yonder. Attendance and participation in the building of the church is not for our benefit, but is for the benefit of the life of Christ. We see way too many people today, I believe, that are just wanting to be bench warmers, show up on Sunday morning and maybe Sunday evening once in a while and feel they have done their service to the church. Many people don't want to commit to the church because they're afraid it'll bring them out of their comfort zone. Maybe they will have to do something they'd rather not do. Question I would ask each one of us, and I trust we can answer it honestly. If none of us were willing to be faithful in our service to the Lord, would the church be able to continue on? You know, thinking of being caught out of your comfort zone, I've shared this before. Brothers and sisters, this morning, if there's anybody being caught out of their comfort zone, I'll be the first one in line. Man, when I was younger, I used to tremble and sweat and shake if I had to get up in front of people, and there's times I still do that. It's definitely getting a little easier as time goes on. But God didn't say that he was going to make life easy. God didn't say that he was going to make everything go okay. But he did say that he's going to ask us to do what he wants us to do. Many people we see today are not taking their commitments seriously. We see marriages around us falling apart. We see what is happening in churches around us, and I wonder sometimes what God must think. If you look at the New Testament where Jesus instituted the church, and as you look at the life of the church, it isn't a place to get your gas tank filled up, so to speak, but rather a place to give of yourself in service to the Lord. We talked about that this morning in our New Believers class a little bit, how the verses there in Ephesians where it talks about a building joined or fitly joined together, and how he gives different gifts and different things, different parts of the church. And you know, we talked about if you would pull a brick or two out of a building, you know, probably the building wouldn't fall, but it wouldn't be complete, it wouldn't look right. Or if you tried to place a stud, if you're building a wall with studs 16 inches apart, and you put two of them maybe 4 or 6 inches apart, and the next one skipped 3 feet, there would be a weak spot there eventually. So the church is, that the thought is that everybody is needed in the church. The interesting thing is, as we think about some of this, as you give of yourselves in service to the Lord and are faithful to him, you will find that your gas tanks will be full. And I use as the gas tank as a thought of what we need within ourselves. Are we being faithful this morning in the life of the church? Part two we want to look at is commitment in the little and big things. We looked at faithfulness. Commitment goes hand in hand together with that, which then can produce integrity. Thinking a little bit more about the life of Daniel, he was faithful in all circumstances of life, regardless of where he was at. You know, and I was thinking this morning, we don't have any record of this, but I can't help but to think that he had parents that taught him to be obedient. Would he have been obedient to God if he didn't have parents that taught him to be obedient when he was younger? We all know the story of Daniel here, thinking a little bit more how the presidents and princes were conspiring together and how they could take Daniel out, how they sneakily got Darius to sign a decree into law for the sole purpose of getting rid of Daniel. You know, Darius didn't realize what they were doing, but they knew what they were doing. They wanted to get rid of Daniel. There was a modern-day power struggle going on there. And I'm sad to say we see that happening in many churches today yet. You know, there's story after story I could tell you of two, I guess just thinking of that, there's one where there's two brothers that were called to the ministry about the same time, and they were both associate pastors, and the lead pastor several years later, retired and moved to another state to help with other work, and there was a new lead pastor chosen from those two, and boy, it wasn't long till the one that wasn't chosen of those two was getting all jealous and later resigned from the ministry and even left the church. And another situation, this one happened years ago in another area as well, but there was two men that they were brother-in-laws, their wives were sisters, had farmed together for probably in a partnership for probably 20 some years, and one of them was called to the ministry, and boy, it wasn't more than a year or two until everything was falling apart, and they had to disperse the partnership, and all because of this whole thing of jealousy and envy and wanting something that God didn't give them. But moving on from that, you know, and let me back up just a little bit. We need to be on guard for that, because regardless of whether it's in the church, regardless of whether it's something our neighbors have, of a nicer house, a nicer car, for us farmers, a nicer tractor, a nicer, you know, you could put anything in there. Maybe they have a nicer flower bed in the summer, and you start thinking, well, mine just ain't quite that good, and you start getting jealous about it. So there's a good principle there for all of us to think about. But moving on a little bit more, you know, I wonder what, as Daniel witnessed all this and as time was going on, you know, I wonder what he was really thinking. Verse 10 is the next thing we see there. Well, we know that decree was signed into law by Darius, King Darius. But verse 10 is the next thing we see. When Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and at his window being opened in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. You know, he wasn't doing this to be rebellious. He was to the king. He was doing this to be obedient to his God. He was doing this because he knew that's what God wanted him to do. You know, I don't believe, you know, the thought could be, you know, I wonder if they are seeing this, or I wonder if they know or will do anything about it. I don't think Daniel was really thinking any of that. He was just thinking of being faithful to God. What about us today? Are we being faithful in our relationships with God and our commitments that we have made, whether it's in our marriages, in our churches, in our parenting, in our homes, in our jobs? Are we taking our children to church? Are we showing them by example what it is to live a Christian life? Do they see our commitment to the Lord and to the church? You know, our children pick up a lot more than what we think, even from little up. There's a lot of things I could share, and I won't take time to do that at this time, but our children know what we are looking at. Our children know what we are thinking. Our children know what we are giving our best effort to and our time to. Our jobs, do we do our best? Are we on time? Are we dependable? Yes, made me think about a couple weeks ago, our main bank we do banking with is here in Shippensburg, but one day Lois and I was going to Chambersburg, and it happened to be, it was a Monday morning, got there soon after it was open, just needed to go make a deposit, and didn't think about it, never really gave it much thought, but Monday morning's when a lot of businesses will go to make their deposits from the weekend, and there were several people there, and I actually waited probably close to 20 minutes. But I observed several things there. The one employee came in, which she was already late because it was the bank opened at 9. This was getting to be quarter after 9. But as soon as she walked in, she hurriedly and rushed over to her computer and typed a couple things in. And I thought, well, I wonder what she's doing. And then she went on back, and she took her coat back, and she took her other bags back. And it was probably about 10 minutes later till she came back out and actually started to work. And then it hit me what she did. She signed in. She hurriedly went to the computer and signed in as soon as she walked in the door. And I thought about that. You know, is that right or wrong? That could be debatable. But if she's doing that at the end of the day, that's 20 minutes out of every day that she's getting paid for that she really didn't work. And that soon adds up in a week's time or in a year's time. And, you know, thinking of that whole thing of integrity. Are we doing our best at our jobs? Are we being on time? Are we dependable? There was a video clip that I seen of a black man a while back that was sharing at a college. He was sharing some things that his dad had taught him. And his dad had been a third grade dropout in school. And his dad had how he brought on saying how his dad taught him much more than he learned in school or in all the books that he could have. But the thing that he said that really made me stop and think that I want to add to this, he said, I'd rather be an hour early than a minute late. Think about that for a moment. I think that's something we probably all struggle with, but thinking about giving our best, and are we there on time? Are we dependable? Are we doing what we say we will do? Faithfulness to the church. We talked about this some already, but are we faithful to the talents that God has given us? We have the parable of the talents that Jesus gave, of where he gave 5 and 2 and 1. And I won't take time to turn and read that, but we know the story there, the account where the one that he gave 5, how he went out and gained another 5, and the one that he gave 2, he got another 2. But the one that got 1, when the Lord came back, he's like, oh, I was just so afraid. I knew you were a harsh man, and so I went and hid my talent. We know what the outcome of that was, but the whole thought of the parable is this: to do our best with the abilities that God has given us, to give of ourselves some time and talent to service for the Lord. Shared just a little bit in the class this morning, but Brother Ernie used to tell the story about a man that went to their church, how he was he was married and had a family, but he wasn't a very intelligent man. He was maybe a little bit more simple, but he took care of a lot of the janitorial work at church. He would came and open the church up on Sunday mornings. He took care of the heating and that type of thing. And he said he was never the one that would be called to be a pastor or a leader in a church anywhere, but yet he had his place in the church. So I guess my thought is this: are you using the abilities that God has given you? Maybe you're just a prayer warrior. Are you giving your best to that this morning? Maybe God has other things for you in life. Are you willing to do what God has for you? Which brings us to another quote that I've seen. It said, it doesn't matter if you're a leader of one of the largest churches in America or a door opener of one of the smallest churches, as long as you're committed to being faithful, you're doing what God wants you to do. Part 3 we want to look at yet is dare to be a Daniel. Daniel trusted that God was in control, even in a foreign land where he seemed to be all alone. You know, it's so easy to trust in God when everything is going well. But what about the difficult times? Commitment isn't about having it all together when things seem okay. Commitment is about doing what is right and keeping our integrity, even when maybe things around us seem to be all going wrong. People were not happy with Daniel. When we do right and God blesses us, others will find something to pick at as well. In Daniel's case, it seemed that everyone was envious of him. In those times when our commitment and integrity are tested, are we being faithful to the Lord? We all know the rest of the story. We'll summarize it just a little bit here in the ending. But verse 16, you know, where it talks about that. Well, let me back up. In verse 14, well, maybe I better back up just a little bit farther than that. When the rest of them came and seen what Daniel was doing, they went running to Darius and told Darius, oh, did you see what Daniel's doing? He's still worshiping his God. He's disobeying the decree. And yeah, in verse 14, when he heard these words, he was sore displeased with himself. He doesn't say he was sore displeased with Daniel. He says he was sore displeased with himself because he recognized what he had allowed them to do. And he set his heart on to delivering Daniel, and he labored until the going down of the sun to deliver him. But then we see how the men that were there against him were, you know, they were coming to him, you're not going to let this go, are you? You're going to hold up to your word. If you don't, you know, maybe don't say all this in here, but if you don't, you're not going to have, you're going against the authority of your authority, you're breaking down part of your kingdom. And then in verse 16, and the king commanded that they bring Daniel and cast him into the lion's den. But this is the thought that really stood out to me. When Darius wouldn't have even believed in God, but yet he knew what Daniel was and knew why Daniel was who he was, when he made this statement there at the end of verse 16. And he said unto Daniel, thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. Think about that for a moment. But moving on, verse, we know that the king didn't sleep well. He didn't have any, must normally would have had music in the evening. You know, he didn't, why did I say he didn't sleep well? It says he didn't sleep at all. Sleep didn't come to him that night. Kind of skipping down across the story there. But in verse 19, where he rose early and went and run into the lion's den, in verse 20, and when he came to the lion's den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. Think about it, try to imagine a scene here. You know, would this man didn't even believe in God, but yet he was pretty sure that Daniel was still going to be alive. He cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel, and the king spake and said, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions? And then verse 22, and God, Daniel, responded and said, my God has sent his angel and has shut the lions' mouths, and they have not hurt me, for as much as before him, innocency was found in him, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. So the question could be asked, if we dare to be a Daniel, does that mean everything will be okay? And the answer to that is absolutely not, because we have account after account of those that were martyred for their faith. But I believe God has a purpose for every story and every account in Scripture. And this one here, I believe the purpose for us today would be to dare to stand out and do what is right, to live lives of integrity, to continue to be faithful to God regardless of what happens. If we dare to be a Daniel, that doesn't mean that the lion's mouths will always be kept shut. But I believe even in the times when we do face things that we wished we wouldn't have to face, or maybe when we face death, is when God gives us strength to remain faithful. You know, you read the story in the Martyr's Mirror and others, where those that were being burned at the stake were singing and praising God. You know, they weren't doing that on their own strength. Imagine that for a moment. They were standing in these flames. The flames are lapping at their bodies and slowly killing them. And they're singing. There's no way they could be singing if God wasn't there, if God wasn't keeping them safe. So the question for each one of us to think about and answer for ourselves this morning, where are we at in our walk with God, in our commitments this morning? Are we living lives of integrity? Are we being faithful in our service for the Lord? Are we letting down our guard in any area, thinking the outcome might be better? Brothers and sisters, this morning, if you read the rest of the story here, to what happened to those that came and accused Daniel or tried to do Daniel in, that's the same thing. We maybe won't be, if we walk away from God or aren't faithful, we maybe won't be thrown into a den of lions, but we will find ourselves in hell someday if we don't continue to serve the Lord and give of ourselves to the Lord. We don't want to end on a down note. We want to end on an encouraging note. God is faithful regardless of our circumstances. You know, we can see time after time God's hand at work. We can see time after time, even in the midst of troubles and trials and difficulty. Maybe not so much right in the midst of the moment, but as time moves on, you will see God's faithfulness through it all. And as I think I shared last Sunday, there maybe even a lot of unanswered questions that we never will get answers for. But I don't think God asks us to always understand everything, but he asks us to continue to trust in him and be faithful. And I maybe shared this last Sunday, but I know I've shared it other times, that I'm almost convinced that a lot of them questions that we maybe have are unanswered ain't going to really matter anymore when we get to heaven. Everything's going to be so glorious that I think everything will make sense once we see Jesus and everything comes together. We don't know that for sure, but, you know, we often hear, and probably each one of us have said, if there's one or two questions that I would like to ask God when I get to heaven, it would be this. And we don't know. There might be that chance, but I don't think it'll really matter anymore. But just encourage each one of us to be faithful, to continue to serve the Lord, to continue to give of our best and time and talents and service to the Lord, to not let our guard down, to not let Satan, you know, Satan's going to always try to trip us up. There's going to be hardships in life. There's going to be trying circumstances. There's going to be sickness. There's going to be hardship. There's going to be financial setbacks. There's going to be, the list could go on, but yet God is faithful through it all if we continue to trust in him. With those thoughts in mind, let us kneel for prayer.